Assalamu alaikum students. On behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology Pakistan, Virtual University and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to another lecture in financial management. In today's lecture, we will continue our discussion of stock betas and the capital asset pricing model and the security market line or SML. Now, just to pick up where we left off last time, I had mentioned that the risk that is relevant in efficient markets where the investors are sensible and rational is the market risk. This is because rational investors maintain many stocks and they maintain diversified portfolios, which contain stocks from different industries and different sectors. So they manage to eliminate the company-specific or diversifiable risk. And the only risk that efficient investors will face is the market component of the risk. However, this market component cannot be eliminated. It will remain. Why? Because markets fluctuate with time as well. Stock market indexes like the Karachi Stock Exchange 100 index fluctuates with time, and you cannot stop this because of certain macroeconomic issues and factors and certain socio-political factors. The possibility of war, inflation, market interest rates are all responsible for making the market interest rates and the market indexes move with time. So the market risk is inherent in all stocks and all portfolios. And the capital asset pricing model is grounded on the fundamental principle, which is that the rate of return for a stock, and to be more accurate, the required rate of return on a stock, is directly proportional to the risk premium, and the risk premium is in turn dependent upon the market risk alone and not the total risk. So before we go into detail with the security market line concept that I introduced at the end of the last lecture, let us cover some of the remaining portions of beta and its theoretical calculation based on standard deviations and covariances. You will recall from an earlier lecture that we mentioned that the beta of a stock is the tendency of that stock's price to move with the market. We also mentioned that it is experimentally possible to calculate the beta of a stock by monitoring the price or the rate of return of a stock and at the same time monitoring the market index in the same period of time and comparing how the changes in the stock market price relate to the changes in the stock market index. We mentioned that if you plot these points on a graph where on the y-axis you have the expected return for the stock and on the x-axis you have the expected return from the stock market index. Once you plot the points and fit the best line through these points, the slope of that line will represent the beta coefficient. That is equal to delta y over delta x, which is equal to the percent change in the expected return on the stock divided by the percent change in the expected return on the stock market index. We have spoken about the beta as a measure of the market risk. And earlier on, when we started talking about risk and return, we mentioned that another way to calculate the risk of a stock is the standard deviation. However, the standard deviation is in a way an introverted or introspective parameter because it only considers the distribution of the possible future returns of that particular stock. and it does not take into account separately any contribution from the market, whereas the beta focuses only on the market risk component of the total risk. So how are the two related? How is the beta that we just calculated under the capital asset pricing model related to our standard definition of risk for a particular stock based on the standard deviation? There is a formula that relates the beta to the standard deviation, and let's take a look at that formula. The beta of stock A is equal to the covariance of stock A with the market divided by the variance of the market. You will recall that the covariance term always includes a standard deviation term and a correlation coefficient. So in this particular case, the beta of stock A is equal to the standard deviation of stock A multiplied by the standard deviation of the market multiplied by the correlation coefficient of the stock A to the market, all divided by the standard deviation of the market squared. In other words, this is the variance of the market. And this formula links the stock beta to the standard deviation of the stock. You can simplify this formula by cancelling out the sigma m terms, which represent the standard deviation of the market. And after that, the simplified formula becomes the beta of stock A is equal to sigma A rho am divided by sigma m, where sigma represents the standard deviation and rho represents the correlation coefficient. Now, let us do a simple numerical example which will explain how you can calculate the theoretical beta based on the standard deviations that you calculate based on traditional probability calculations. So now let's take a look at this example. Suppose you have analyzed the historical time data for the movements of the price of a stock A, and the price is representative of the rate of return for this stock. And suppose that you have also analyzed the historical data for the movements in the value of the stock market index. It might be the KSE 100 index. You then apply the simple probability formulas that we did at the start of risk and return, and you compute the following standard deviations and correlation coefficients. The standard deviation of A, or sigma A, is equal to 30%. In other words, stock A's total risk is equal to 30%. The standard deviation of the market, or sigma M, is equal to 20%. This is the standard deviation in the movement of the stock market index and is representative of the risk of the market. Finally, the correlation coefficient between stock A and the market is equal to rho AM, and that is equal to plus 0.8. This measures the tendency of stock A to move with the market index. Now, how can we calculate the theoretical value of the beta for stock A? Quite simply by using the formula that you saw earlier. The stock A beta is equal to sigma A multiplied by rho AM divided by sigma M, and that is equal to 30% times 0.8 divided by 20%, and that is equal to 1.2. So we have just calculated the stock beta based on fundamentals. We have simply used the standard deviations and the correlation coefficients that you can compute using simple probability analysis. We have computed these coefficients for the stock as well as for the stock market index, and we have managed to calculate the theoretical value of the beta. This gave us a second approach for calculating beta, because you will recall earlier on that we calculated the beta coefficient based on a regression line after we collected data regarding the expected return changes in the stock and the expected return changes in the stock market index. However, both of these approaches are linked, because after all, In the formula we just used, we are using the standard deviation of the market in the stock, and that is representative of the percent change in the returns of the stock and of the market. So the two formulas, the method for calculating the beta according to the regression line is related to the method for calculating the beta based on the standard deviations and the correlation coefficient. The answer we got for the beta was 1.2, which means that this particular stock A is relatively more risky than the market. And if the market moves up by 10%, this stock would move up by 12%. Now, just to refresh your memory about the way we calculated the beta based on observed data or experimental data, I had mentioned that you can collect the data on the expected returns movements in the stock and compare that to the expected return movements in the stock market index. If you cannot conveniently collect the data on expected returns, then we use the historical data that is available. And we compare the movements in the changes in the stock market price to the changes in the stock market index. We plot these points on the graph. We fit the best straight line through these set of points using statistical regression or the least squares fit. And the slope of this line represents the beta coefficient. So if you take a look at the graphical beta analysis again, you can see that on the y-axis we have the expected return on stock A, and on the x-axis we have the expected return on the stock market index. Both of these are measured in terms of percentages. The slope of the straight line that passes through the data points is the beta value, and that is equal to the percent change in the return on the stock divided by the percent change in the return on the market. Also note that the y-intercept, or where the line crosses the y-axis, is also known as the alpha coefficient, and that is representative of the company-specific or diversifiable risk. You will recall that earlier on we mentioned that the total risk is equal to the market risk plus the company-specific risk. And this company-specific risk is the diversifiable component of the risk that can be removed. Now, we can look at the graph of the regression line and the scatter of points on this graph and get an idea of how much company-specific risk a particular stock has. If all of the experimental data points for a particular stock lie on a straight line, then that stock has no company-specific risk, and it has only market risk. This can be the case if, for example, the stock is part of a fully diversified portfolio which has successfully eliminated all of the company-specific risk. However, if we take a look at another stock whose data points are scattered about all over the graph and do not lie on a straight line, then it means that that stock has a certain amount of company-specific risk attached to it. In other words, what we are saying is that the company-specific risk or diversifiable risk associated with random events in the life of a company is in some way proportional to the vertical distance between an actual data point and the point on the straight line that passes through the set of data points. So, to use the statistical term, the error or the difference between the actual data point and a point that lies on the line vertically above or below it is representative of the error which is representative of the company specific risk attached to any stock. It is possible that a stock has a scatter of points that do not lie on a straight line, because that is the only stock investment that the investor has made, and therefore it is not part of a diversified portfolio where the company risk has been reduced. Now we can put together the two concepts that we have learned so far. One of them, that of the total risk, which is equal to the market risk plus the company specific risk. And the second concept was that of the regression line and the distance from the regression line to the actual data point being representative of the company specific risk or the random risk. So we can now come up with a definition of the total risk in terms of variances. Variances are also a measure of risk, because after all, the variance is nothing other than the standard deviation squared. And so far we have been using the standard deviation as the representative of risk. So let us take a look at the formula for the total risk in terms of variances. So the total risk is equal to the market risk plus the random or company specific unique risk. Total risk is equal to sigma A squared, which is equal to beta A squared sigma M squared plus sigma A error squared. Over here, sigma A squared represents the total risk. Beta A squared sigma M squared represents the market risk, and sigma A error squared represents the random error or the company specific or unique risk. Now, if you visualize this formula on the regression line, then you can look at the market risk component as a dot that lies exactly on the regression line, and you can look at the sigma A squared term as the random error or the distance that an actual data point is vertically away from the straight line. So now let us see how we can apply this formula to calculate just the market risk component of a particular stock. If the market risk is equal to 20% and the stock A's beta is equal to 1.5, then what would be the market risk component of stock A? Well, firstly, we can compute the variance, and specifically the market variance of stock A. That is equal to the beta of A squared multiplied by the market variance, and that is equal to 1.5 squared times 20% squared, and that is equal to 900%. That is the variance. So quite simply, we can calculate the standard deviation, which is the square root of the variance, and therefore the standard deviation is equal to 30%, and that is the market risk component of stock A. Note also that the total risk of stock A can be calculated directly by calculating the standard deviation of possible future returns, and we did this early on when we were talking about risk and return using the simple risk formula for standard deviation. Suppose then that the total risk of this stock has been given to you as 35%, then the company specific risk can be calculated. Company specific risk, or the diversifiable or random risk of stock A, would then be equal to the total risk minus the market risk, which is equal to 35% minus 30%, and that is 5%. So what we're saying then is that approximately 86% of the total risk of the stock A is market risk. In other words, it is quite likely that this stock is part of a fully diversified portfolio or an almost fully diversified portfolio, because the company-specific portion of the risk is only 14% of the total risk. By the way, the percentage that I calculated for the market risk is simply 30%, which was the market risk, divided by 35%, which was the total risk, multiplied by 100. That will give you approximately 86%. So we are talking here probably about a stock that is part of a well-diversified portfolio, because its company-specific risk is so small compared to its total risk. So now, let's come back to what we spoke about earlier, which was the security market line. We mentioned that the security market line provides us with a relationship between the beta, or the market risk, and the required rate of return for a particular stock. As I mentioned earlier, the required rate of return for a stock is different from an expected rate of return. Expected rate of returns we calculate using probabilities, and the forecasted returns for a particular stock using the weighted average formulas. However, the required rate of return is a function of the individual, and it is very subjective. The required rate of return depends on the individual investor's personal risk profile, his tendency to be a gambler or not to be a gambler, and also every individual's opportunity cost of capital or their access to funds. So what the security market line model of the capital asset pricing theory tells us is that there is a straight line relationship, or a linear relationship, between the required rate of return for a particular stock and the market risk, or beta. We mentioned earlier on that in efficient markets, the price of a stock is based on the market risk only, because rational investors are expected to eliminate the company-specific portion of the risk, and the market will not give them any extra rate of return for taking on risk that they should never have taken on to begin with, i.e. the company-specific risk. So let us take a look at the security market line equation and see how the beta is related to the required rate of return. The security market line linear equation for the required rate of return of any stock A is as follows. R sub A is equal to R sub RF plus RM minus RF multiplied by the beta of A. Let us identify each of the terms in the equation. RA refers to the return that an investor requires from investment in the stock A. R sub RF refers to the risk-free rate of return, or the T-bill ROR, which is generally picked to be 10%. RM refers to the return that the investors require from the investment in the overall market, or in an average stock in the market. Keep in mind that the beta for the market is always defined to be plus 1.0. Beta A in the equation refers to the beta, or the market risk component, for stock A. If you take a look at the last term in this equation, that term is RM minus RF multiplied by beta A. And that is what is known as the risk premium. And the risk premium is the extra rate of return that is required above the risk-free rate of return in order to compensate the investor for the additional market risk of the stock that he is taking on. So what the security market line model tells us is that there is a very simple and straightforward relationship between the required rate of return of a stock and the market risk or beta. To be more accurate, the SML equation accounts for the market risk beta in the form of a risk premium term, which is the beta of that stock multiplied by the difference in the market rate of return and the risk-free rate of return. What this means is that in efficient markets, the price of stocks is based on the required rate of return, and that in turn is based on the risk premium for the stock, which in turn depends on the beta or the market risk of the stock. In other words, to simplify this, the price of a stock in an efficient market depends on the market risk of the stock. So now let us do a simple numerical example to help us understand how we can use the security market line equation in order to estimate the required rate of return for any stock. Let us calculate the required rate of return for stock A given the following data. Beta A is equal to 2.0. In other words, the stock A is twice as risky as the market. RM is equal to 20%. In other words, the market rate of return, or the rate of return on a portfolio consisting of all stocks, is equal to 20%. Another way to interpret it is that this is the rate of return on the average stock in the market. R sub RF is equal to 10%, and this is the risk-free rate of return, or the T-bill rate of return. So let us use the SML equation, which assumes efficient stock pricing, in order to calculate the required rate of return for this stock A. R sub A is equal to R sub RF plus RM minus RF multiplied by the beta of A. That is equal to 10% plus 20% minus 10% multiplied by 2, and that is equal to 30%. So we have just calculated the required rate of return of stock A based on the beta or the market risk of stock A. And the answer we got was that the required return is 30%. Understand what it actually means. Firstly, the point to note is that the required return on stock A of 30% is higher than the return on the market, which was 20%. And this is because the market gives an extra rate of return for investors who are investing in stock A. Why? Because the beta of stock A, you will recall, was 2.0. In other words, stock A was twice as risky as the market. Therefore, the market is giving or offering a higher rate of return for investment in stock A in order to compensate the investor for the extra risk. The second interpretation of this answer is that the required rate of return for stock A, which is 30%, is higher than the expected rate of return for stock A at 20%. And if the required rate of return for investors is higher than the expected rate of return, then there's a problem. Because what the stock can actually give to the investor in the form of the actual expected rate of return is lower than what the investors require. So the investors will not invest in any stock whose required rate of return is higher than the expected rate of return. Please remember this point. So let me stop the presentation of the new material for this lecture right here, and let us review some of the concepts and formulas that we have studied in this lecture. We began by talking about two approaches to calculating the beta coefficient for a stock. One approach was the graphical approach in which we plot the data points for the rate of returns of the stock and the market onto a graph, and we sketch a line through the set of points, and the slope of that line is an estimate of the beta coefficient. The other approach was a theoretical approach for calculating beta based on the standard deviations and simple probability analysis that we did at the start of risk and return. The formula for the beta coefficient that we studied was as follows. The beta of stock A is equal to the covariance of stock A with the market divided by the variance of the market. And that is equal to sigma A sigma M rho A M divided by sigma M squared. And that can be simplified to sigma A rho A M divided by sigma M. Here sigma A refers to the standard deviation of A, sigma M refers to the standard deviation of the market, and rho A M refers to the correlation coefficient. So in this formula for the beta of stock A, sigma A refers to the standard deviation of A, sigma M refers to the standard deviation of the market, and rho A M refers to the correlation between the stock A and the market. In other words, the tendency of stock A to move with the market. We then studied the regression line method for calculating the stock beta, and we mentioned that the least squares line that passes through the set of data points has a certain slope, and that slope is equal to the beta coefficient. We also mentioned very early on that the total risk of a stock is equal to the market risk plus the company specific risk, and we can put these two concepts together to define the total risk in terms of the variance. Let us take a look at that formula once again. The total risk is equal to sigma A squared, which is equal to beta A squared sigma M squared plus sigma A error squared. Here, the point to note is that beta A squared sigma M squared represents the market risk, and that is in the form of the variance. So in order to calculate the standard deviation for the market risk, the answer would be beta A sigma M. So what we are saying then is that you can calculate the market risk component by itself for any stock, and that is equal to the standard deviation for that market risk, which is equal to the beta for that stock multiplied by the standard deviation of the market. If you connect this formula to the one we studied earlier, you can calculate the theoretical beta for the stock. That is equal to the standard deviation of stock A multiplied by the correlation coefficient between stock A and the market divided by the standard deviation of the market. So these are simple and compact formulas for calculating the beta and the market risk component for any stock. We then moved on to the security market line and asked ourselves how we can calculate the required rate of return for any stock. Keep in mind, please, that when we were using probabilities to calculate rate of returns, we were talking about expected rate of returns. They can be calculated theoretically using probabilities. However, when we talk about the required rate of return, we're talking about what an individual investor requires, and that depends on his personal risk profile, it depends on his opportunity cost of capital, and his access to money. So that varies from one person to the other. However, the beauty of the capital asset pricing model is that it comes up with a quantitative or mathematical way of estimating the required rate of return, and the simple straight line relationship is that the required rate of return is directly proportional to the risk premium, and the risk premium is defined as the beta for that stock multiplied by the difference between the market rate of return and the risk-free rate of return. So let us take a look at the SML equation. The SML equation for the required rate of return of any stock, R sub A is equal to R sub RF plus RM minus RF multiplied by the beta for the stock A. So I urge you to please go over the formulas that we have covered in this particular lecture and to do the practice exercises, the homework assignments from chapters 4 and 5 in Brigham and Kapensky. With this, I thank you for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Ministry of Science and Technology, Pakistan, Virtual University, aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se bahut bahut shukriya. Khuda hafiz aur assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, students. On behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology, the Virtual University of Pakistan, and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to another lecture of financial management. Is lecture mein hum risk ka mauzu jari rakhenge. Risk bahut ek ahem subject hai aur isko samajhna bhi bahut zaruri hai. Har jagah risk maujood hoti hai. اس وقت ایک رسک ہے کہ بجلی چلے جائے گی اور ہم ریکارڈنگ نہیں کر پائیں گے. ایک اور رسک یہ ہے کہ میرا کمپیوٹر جو ہے وہ کام نہیں کرے گا اور میں اس لیکچر کی ڈیلیوری نہیں کر پاؤں گا. یہ بھی رسک ہے کہ آپ یہ لیکچر نہیں دیکھ پائیں گے کسی وجہ سے. وی ہیو ٹو بی ایبل ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ رسک, وی ہیو ٹو نو ہاؤ ٹو میجر رسک, اینڈ دین وی ہیو ٹو نو ہاؤ ٹو کنٹرول رسک ان ایوری ڈے لائف. اینڈ وی یوز دا سیم کانسیپٹس دیٹ وی ہیو بین ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ ان دس کورس, the concepts of probability and statistics. And this is why probability and statistics is also called the science of God. We're going to continue the discussion in this lecture with what we began in the previous one regarding market risk, betas, the security market line, and required rate of returns. So we're going to see how we can use the required rate of return that we calculated using the SML equation or security market line and use that required rate of return for the calculations that we have been doing in the first two parts of this course on financial management. In the first part of the course, we did capital budgeting and net present value calculations. And you will remember that in the net present value formula, the R value that we were using was the required rate of return. Not the expected rate of return, but the required rate of return. And we said that, at the time we said that we will not worry about how we calculate this required rate of return. We just accepted that as a given. But now you have just learned how to calculate the required rate of return. That is the same